This podcast is supported by Talkspace.
When my husband came home from his military deployment, readjusting was hard for all of us. Thankfully, I found Talkspace.
Talkspace provides professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatric providers online. Military members, veterans, and their dependents ages 13 and older can get fast access to providers, all from the privacy of their computers or smartphones.
I just answered a few questions online, and Talkspace matched me with a therapist. We meet when it's convenient for me, and I can message her anytime. It was so easy to set up, and they accept TRICARE. Therapy was going so well, my husband and I started seeing a couples therapist through Talkspace, too.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, including TRICARE. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com/military. Go to Talkspace.com/military to get started today. That's Talkspace.com/military.
Don't you deserve a Medicare plan you can count on? Well, you can count on a Medicare Advantage plan from UnitedHealthcare. Enjoy reliable coverage and low out-of-pocket costs with a Medicare Advantage plan from UnitedHealthcare. And if you have a chronic condition like diabetes, chronic heart failure, or a cardiovascular disorder, you may qualify for a UnitedHealthcare Complete Care plan with plans that fit your life today and as your needs change tomorrow. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare plans at uhc.com/Medicare.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Warning, Check the Locks podcast is a true crime podcast and may contain graphic descriptions of violence, murder, sexual assault, and more. Check the Locks podcast is not appropriate for all listeners. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Welcome back to Check the Locks podcast. As always, I'm John Connor.
I'm Olivia Cornu.
Saying thank you for joining us this week as we dive into yet another truly terrifying true crime case. Before we get started, as always, Olivia, my friend, my co-host, my partner in crime, how are you? How was your week been? What's been going on, friend?
Oh, I've had a busy week. You know, I had family here last weekend. It was Mother's Day. And then, you know, I had 3 days to get my life flipped back around and ready for the next guest. And I had my best friend from childhood come visit me on Thursday, and she left today. And in the midst of all of that, I threw a crawfish boil going away party at my house for friends of mine. So yesterday was a very busy day and just preparing the house and making sure everything is ready. And so I am exhausted come tonight, but I'm excited to be here. How was your weekend?
Oh, my week has been good, and I'm glad that you had a good time. I know, you know, whenever a friend is moving away or anything like that, it can feel a little rough, so it's always nice to have a good, like, bon voyage, send them off the right way, and a crawfish boil definitely sounds the best way to do that. I have only been to one, and it was in New Orleans on my honeymoon. So it was there's a place, I think it's called Kubis, like K-U-B-I-S or something, that we went to down there. But
potentially.
It was really good. But my week has been good, just working. And then we finally actually had a Saturday where we didn't have anything to do in the evening. So we did some running around in the morning. We had a birthday party and Millie had gymnastics and stuff like that. But at night, we didn't have anything to do. So we had a family movie night and hung out and just laid on the couch. And that rarely happens in our world where
that's fun.
Yeah, you get to just kind of lounge around. So I went and got snacks from the Dollar General, got M&Ms and popcorn and, you know, turned all the lights off, did it movie theater style. I was looking at something on my phone and Millie looked at me and said, "Dad, you can't have your phone out at the movie theater." And I was like, "I'm sorry." So I put it away. But I'm glad you're back. We missed you last week, and so happy to have you back with us this week. And
yeah, thanks for keeping the fort down.
No, of course. Of course. You know, we were off because of Mother's Day and, you know, obviously wanted to make sure we were still cranking them out. But this week is your week and I'm excited because it sounds like we're going across the pond a little bit. You know, I love a good international case. So what do you say? Should we jump into this week's episode, break it down?
Yeah, I think so. This week, we're actually going across the pond to Ireland, John. We're going to be a little Irish.
Oh, hi, Sophie, and you're going to Ireland. Sorry, that's
better than I could ever do. It's why I didn't attempt. So yeah, kudos.
Oh, the Emerald Isle. No, I don't know. There's probably some, we have people who listen in Ireland and they're probably like, what the hell was that? So apologies.
It's called a Southern Man Michiganders rendition of an Irish accent.
Yes, I apologize. The old shillelagh. I can't stop. I just keep doing it. All right. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
But even though we're going to Ireland, I thought this case would be interesting to bring to our listeners because it's something that has already happened, but it's actually in trial right now. So I thought it was pretty cool when I stumbled across it.
Yeah, that's awesome. Anytime you can kind of like check in for live updates and stuff like that is always cool. So,
well, this week, like I said, we're headed to a quiet harbor town in Ireland. The town of Youghal is located along Ireland's southern coastline. Life in this town was slow and predictable. It was the kind of place where people know each other's routines and who's in the neighborhood. The town was shocked when a young 45-year-old woman seemed to have vanished without a trace in March of 2017. Tina Satchwell had a vibrant personality and loved her family. She moved to England in the 1980s, living with her grandmother. 10 years later, in 1990, she would meet Richard Satchwell. The pair married and later returned to Ireland. Tina and Richard lived in a modest home just blocks from the sea. Richard had a few run-ins with the Gardaí, and for those who don't know, that is the Irish police equivalent. So in this episode, you'll hear me talk about the Gardaí instead of detectives or investigators or police.
Yeah, that's strange. I'd never heard about that before. Like, I know each country has their own kind of police force or name for it, stuff like that. So it was interesting to learn.
Yeah, I had to do a little bit of researching. And when I get to like the case in the trial, it's more spoken to on our terms in the U.S. and not so much of how the rules go in Ireland. But, you know, same catch, I guess.
Oh, you don't want to get in trouble with the Gardaí now, do you?
No, I don't. Now, in November of 2001, Richard was sentenced to 7 days in prison for larceny. He was also found to be driving without insurance and was suspended from driving for an entire year. And in December of 2002, Satchwell was sentenced to a month in prison after being found guilty of social welfare fraud. So, which is basically like him defrauding like Medicaid, Medicare type things in the U.S.
Yeah, basically just, you know, stealing benefits, essentially.
Right. Yeah, stealing government benefits.
Gotcha.
Now, in 2016, the Satchwells moved to their seaside home. But March 19th, 2017, a typical Sunday, would be the last time Tina Satchwell was seen in public. She and Richard had gone to a car boot sale in a small town, not too far from their own. And I had to look up what a car boot sale was because I wasn't sure if it was something related to cars. And I think if I got my research correct, it's more like a flea market, kind of like antiques and fairs and things that, you know, people have.
Yeah,
that
like
they
an open
sell.
Market kind of thing, different vendors and stuff.
Yeah.
In my head, you know, being from America, I was like, oh, it's just a place that sells boots for your, yeah, like you
car
didn't pay your ticket
boots.
Or like you parked in a fire lane or whatever. Now you got this big old boot under. Yeah.
You got your car booted.
No, but that makes way more sense than what I was thinking.
Now they browsed through the stalls just like any other couple enjoying the weekend. But just a few days later, everything had changed. On March 24th, around 7 p.m., Richard Satchwell walked into the Fermoy Garda station. Now, again, that's just the police station. He told officers his wife was missing. Richard told police that he hadn't seen or spoken to Tina since the morning of Monday, March 20th. Now that morning, he said, she had asked him to pick up fish from Aldi, which was about 30 kilometers or 18 miles from their home. He claimed he left around 10:30 a.m., but when he returned home around noon, Tina was gone. No note, no message, just gone. Richard offered an explanation. He said Tina had been depressed, stressed by family conflicts. He believed she had simply walked away just to clear her head. But over time, his story began to change slightly. Richard began to suggest that she may have left Ireland altogether, possibly to stay with relatives in the UK. But that theory didn't sit right with Tina's family or the Gardaí. Authorities confirmed that Tina didn't have a passport and none of her identification documents were missing. She hadn't gone through any Irish or UK ports or airports. In fact, there was no evidence at all that she had left the country. Her phone had never been used again, and her bank account remained untouched from the day forward. Richard said that Tina had taken 26,000 euros in cash, which is about 29,000 US dollars, and two suitcases. But the circumstances surrounding her disappearance were filled with inconsistencies. In the months following Tina Satchwell's disappearance, the Gardaí launched a series of searches in hopes of uncovering what had happened to her. On June 7, 2017, investigators conducted a detailed forensic exam of the Satchwell's home. Finding nothing of evidential value, but suspicion lingered and the concern mounted. The Gardaí Water Unit, along with the Irish Coast Guard, searched Youghal Harbor at low tide on August 19, 2017, but again came up empty-handed. The investigation gained a new lead in March of 2018 when a tip came from a member of the public. The caller claimed to have seen a blonde-haired woman, possibly Tina, entering Mitchell's Wood, about 20 minutes from Youghal, late on the night she went missing. Strangely, the witness said only one person left the woods. Acting on the tip, the Gardaí carried out a massive search operation, deploying cadaver dogs and even setting up a no-fly zone over the area. But despite their efforts, no trace of Tina was ever found. Desperate for answers, the Gardaí involved the Interpol, which is the, I guess, international police, expanding the investigation beyond Ireland's borders. But the trail remained cold. As Tina Satchwell's disappearance lingered without resolution, the media attention across Ireland intensified. Her husband Richard stepped into the spotlight frequently speaking to the press. He would plead for any information that may lead to Tina's whereabouts. And in those early months, he gave numerous interviews, hoping publicity would keep the case alive. But over time, Richard grew increasingly frustrated with how his words were portrayed. He accused the Irish print media of twisting his statements out of context to create misleading narratives. This caused increased public speculation, particularly online, and some began to suspect Richard's involvement. Eventually, he refused further print interviews, choosing instead to speak only on live radio and television, where he claimed his words couldn't be twisted. While defending his innocence, he publicly said that the husband is statistically the first person to be questioned in a missing persons case. He held firm to his belief that Tina was alive. Years passed with no sign of Tina Satchwell, and the case was never closed. It wasn't until July of 2023 that a team of detectives from the area began to meticulously review the original investigation. And thankfully, they did. The Gardaí were about to get a major breakthrough. They revisited witness statements and discovered serious discrepancies. What Richard had told Gardaí back in 2017 didn't line up with the facts. Phone records, email activity, and geolocation data painted a very different picture. And one critical lie stood out: the place where Richard claimed to be on the morning Tina went missing. His mobile forensics told a different story. His device had pinged off local towers in the area. As investigators pored over the case files and photographs of the couple's home, they also noticed something new under the stairs. In newer pictures of the home, a new brick wall had been added. Then fate intervened. In early of October 2023, workers clearing a blocked drain at the house next door to the Satchwells noticed something odd. What they found was concerning enough to notify the Gardaí. And after more than 6 years, the tone of the case shifted dramatically.
Don't you deserve a Medicare plan you can count on? Well, you can count on a Medicare Advantage plan from United Healthcare. Enjoy reliable coverage and low out-of-pocket costs with a Medicare Advantage plan from United Healthcare. And if you have a chronic condition like diabetes, chronic heart failure, or a cardiovascular disorder, you may qualify for a United Healthcare Complete Care plan with plans that fit your life today and as your needs change tomorrow. Find out more about United Healthcare plans at uhc.com/medicare.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
On October 10th, Tina's case was officially upgraded from a missing persons case to a murder investigation. That same day, Richard Satrell was arrested on suspicion of murder. A forensic search of his home was launched. He was released the next day without charge, but that wouldn't last long. On October 12th, a cadaver dog searching the home alerted at the base of the stairwell, behind the mysterious brick wall. The guard eye began breaking through the wall and digging. Beneath a meter-thick slab of concrete, they uncovered the remains of a woman, her body wrapped in black plastic. And their search was over. On October 13th, the remains were formally identified as Tina Satchwell, using dental records. That same day, Richard was rearrested and charged with her murder. According to Gardai, when he was taken into custody, he made a chilling statement. Guilty or not guilty, guilty. On October 14th, 2023, he appeared before the district court where he was formally charged with his wife's murder. He was remanded into custody to await trial. On November 3rd, Satchwell sought bail, but the judge denied the request. She deemed him a flight risk, considering the serious nature of the charge and the national attention the case had drawn. Satchwell's team was able to have the case moved from their local area to Dublin. Now, the trial began on April 28, 2025, at the Central Criminal Court in Dublin, Ireland. At the start, Satchwell entered a plea of not guilty. The judge had asked the jury to put aside what they may have heard in the media, and what mattered most was the evidence presented. Prosecutor Small began by recounting Richard's original claims from 2017. According to the husband, Tina left voluntarily after tensions in their marriage, taking the two suitcases and the 26,000 euros in cash. But investigators later uncovered the inconsistencies. There's CCTV evidence showing Richard collecting social welfare at 11:10 a.m., not on his way to a trip as he had claimed. Also, forensic accountants concluded that the couple lacked the funds to support his cash claim. They presented the physical evidence found by the cadaver dog, even noting that Tina was dressed in pajamas and a robe. During interrogation, Richard claimed Tina had attacked him with a chisel, and he accidentally strangled her using the belt from her robe. He stored her body in a freezer for days before burying her in a shallow grave. Later, he attempted to give away the freezer online and sell her clothes at a car boot sale. Forensic evidence and Gardai testimony has painted a very disturbing picture. But as the trial unfolds, the jury must now decide whether Richard Satchwell's story was one of panic or of cold, calculated effort to hide the murder of his wife. Now, again, like I said, this trial is ongoing, so I don't know if he's guilty or not guilty. It's still taking place, but I'm hoping that we can follow it as a group and maybe talk about it in the Facebook group.
Yeah,
but that's this week's case.
That'd be awesome.
What do you think?
This one, there's just so much to it. First of all, anytime I hear Aldi in a story, I'm like, yeah, because we were making a shopping list today. We're like, what do we need from the good old Aldi? So, and you forget that, like, it came from that side of the world anyway. You know what I mean? So I also wonder if you have to put, like, whatever their currency is in the shopping cart to get, yeah.
To get it out. No, they probably just
probably don't have to worry about it over there. But the other thing I was kind of wondering about, and as you were going through the story, I was digging a little bit on a web page on this side, but I was kind of curious as to what caused the utility worker, you know, and noticing like the drain and having the plumbing issue, what caused them to contact the authorities. And from what I could find, it looks like Richard may have broken like a water line or something like that when he was trying to bury the body. But I was just like, that's just very strange because it doesn't say that they found anything specifically, but apparently it was enough damage that
right.
They're like, hey, something's going on in this area, which is funny because my brother and my friend Taylor, when they were kids, they kept, there was a sewer cap in the backyard of our friend Taylor's house. And they took off the lid and they were just dropping logs and like pieces of wood, and they're trying to dam up the sewer. And the utility workers like noticed a problem like 5-6 houses down. They're like, what's going on? They traced it back and they found this big dam that they had made in the sewer. And they were like, you got to clear all this out because you could have ruined the plumbing for your entire block. So it's kind of crazy to think that, you know, you could find it a couple houses down and that would tip you off that something was going off someplace else, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he put her in a shallow concrete grave, so I'm assuming that is what has happened as well.
Yeah, I mean, it just sounds like he's kind of a low-down dude anyway. You know what I mean? Like, he had been getting in trouble for the petty stuff earlier, and it feels like it's one of those situations where, like, the behavior was going to escalate, and just sadly, unfortunately, Tina paid the price for that. I'm wondering, and I don't know if we'll ever know, but, like, I'm wondering, like, what happened? Like, what goes off in you that has you thinking that, like, my only course of action is to murder my wife and then bury her in the house? You know what I mean? Like, that's, it's crazy.
Right.
I
don't know. We're going to have to find out, and hopefully
I was
also
reading that when authorities found her body, she was, like, folded in half. So, just like thinking about the force that that would take. And like, again, like this is somebody you're supposed to love, right? Like you've been married since like the 90s, you know, and then to just snap and then you fold up your spouse and bury them in concrete is terrifying.
I agree with it. And I just can't believe that this is like something that's like today. You know?
Well, and it's like, it's almost like he's acting as if like digital evidence doesn't exist nowadays.
Yeah, you can't do anything out in public.
No.
Without being caught. Or
wherever being seen you somewhere. Say you are, like your phone better be there with you. You know what I mean? Or else, I mean, there's just, everybody has their phone with them all the time. So, and that's the other thing too, to be, oh yeah, she took $26,000 or, you know, 26,000 euros, and they look into it and they're like, dude, like you've never had that much money in your bank account.
Can't even, yeah.
Right.
Like, where did you come up with that?
Yeah.
Cash.
You know, so it's just, it seems like a really weird alibi or story to tell, like when you're going so far outside of reality. Like that's a very simple thing to, you know, like if I were to look at my savings account or like my checking account and they're like, John left with $1,500. Like, okay, that's probably, probably something. But if I was like, John left with $2.4 million, they'd be like, yeah, that absolutely is not the case whatsoever.
Right. Like he left me hanging.
Yeah. Struggling to pay podcast bills, but disappearing with $2.4 million. So no,
like
but
that damn John.
Yeah. There's like, it seems like he's into some, he's into committing crimes, but is not the sharpest tool in the shed, if that makes sense.
Yep. Well, if we're talking deadbolt, what do you think?
Anything like this is automatically going to be over a 5 for me, just because of the fact that like you're married to someone, this is someone that you're supposed to trust. You know, it's somebody that you're trying to build a life with. You know, never imagine that your spouse is going to be the person to kill you. So, you know, why I'm not terrified that, you know, Kara is going to fold me up and bury me in concrete, I would still put this at like a 7, because it's just, you don't know, you know what I mean? And I think it just speaks to the fact that you never really know a person. And especially in these cases where it's a spouse murdering, you know, a loved one or their partner, that can be particularly scary. So I put it a 7, but what about you?
Yeah, I'm putting it up there about a 7 or an 8. I'm going to go with a 7 with you. I'm always saying this, and I'm going to say it again, and I'll say it till I'm blue in the face. Just divorce your spouse. Just separate. Move on. You'll figure it out. But yeah, I just don't like these ones where you give your heart and soul to these people, you trust them, you love them at some point, and then they can turn around and murder you. And not only murder you, but like you said, bury you in a shallow grave, leave you in the house, like don't respect your body. And I don't know. I don't like those.
It seems like there's an element of like, he didn't look at her as human, but looked at her as like a cash cow, right? Like, because it seems like his plan was like, she'll disappear. I'll collect whatever, you know, social benefits or whatever, you know, something like that. And it's, you know, just the money seems like it was potentially more important to him than her life or their relationship. And that's terrifying to think that you could be in a relationship with a person like that. You know, I used to joke all the time. I'd call my mom when Kara and I first got married and I switched her over as my beneficiary and everything. I'd be like, hey, listen, if I disappear and all of a sudden Kara's got like three new brand new pairs of shoes. And, you know, I was like, something's up. Just like, keep your eyes open. You know what I mean? It's just like completely joking. But like, the fact of the matter is there's people out in the world that operate like that. And that is so scary. Well, to keep in tradition of this episode or the theme of this episode, that's where we fall on the deadbolt test for this week's case. No, I'm sorry. No, that's where we fall on the deadbolt test for this week's case. Olivia and I are both coming in at a 7, but as always, we want to hear from you, the listeners, the locksmiths. Where does the murder of Tina Satchwell sit on your deadbolt test? You can let us know. Reach out to us on Instagram at Check the Locks Pod. You can find us on Twitter at Check the Locks. And if you're not in our Facebook group, what are you doing? Come hang out with us. We would love to get to know you, to be able to spend a little time with you. And Olivia, speaking of hearing what our listeners think, I've got a surprise for you.
A voicemail? Oh my gosh, yes.
Hey guys, it's Megan from Kansas, or Meg, as known in the Facebook group. I just wanted to say hi because it's been a while. I'm currently driving to go do some box exercise and help my dad move. Just listen to the murder of Garcia, I think. And it got me thinking because I actually do have an ex that I didn't think that he would be crazy like that. And then when we broke up, the last time we were like on and off for a long time, but when we broke up the last time, he actually broke into my house. Luckily, I wasn't there, but he punched through my back door and like bled all over the house. And you just never think that someone is capable of something until they unfortunately surprise you with it sometimes, because they're just real good at hiding. But everybody stay safe out there. Don't forget to take your lock and lock your windows. But leave them open. I know it's nice out. All right. Take care, Olivia, John. Hope you have a great weekend.
Oh, my. I'm so excited we had a voicemail from Meg, but like so scary that you had to deal with a boyfriend like that. But thank you for reaching out and listening to our podcast and leaving us such a cool voicemail.
Yeah. And
makes me happy.
Yeah, definitely. Me too. Anytime we get a voicemail, I'm so excited for it to hear what people think. And I leave this switch turned off on my phone just so that way if somebody calls, like I don't accidentally answer it or something like that. Just kind of leave it as a voicemail. So I get to turn the switch on. And when one of those voicemails comes in, like my heart skips. I'm like, yes, yeah.
Yeah, we got one.
But the episode that Meg was referring to was our true crime for the short on time, the murder of Maria Garcia Molina. And I'm not sure if you remember, Olivia, that's the one where the toddler was found kind of wandering around the courtyard. And then sadly, they found Maria, you know, in the car. And then the boyfriend showed up on the scene and everything like that. But
yeah, just from like a few weeks ago.
Yeah. But Meg, I have to tell you, like, I'm just so glad that you're safe. And I think, you know, it's a perfect example of, you know, exactly what we're talking about and exactly what you said in that voicemail is that you just never really know who you're dealing with. And I think that also kind of ties into a lot of the themes that we were talking about in this case. Right. So it's just crazy. And again, just so glad you're safe that you weren't there because who knows, you know, what would have happened. You know, that's absolutely terrifying. And hopefully Olivia will learn to sleep with her windows closed even when the weather's nice. So.
Well, lucky for y'all, it's mid-May and it's already like 95 degrees. So there's no window weather anymore.
For sure.
The feeling's going to be a very hot summer.
Yeah, well, and I just, again, just wanted to say thank you for leaving that voicemail and for sharing your story with us. I'm sure it's probably not super easy to talk about. So the fact that you're willing to call in and tell us and you know, hopefully, you know, others hear that and maybe it will motivate them to get out of a bad situation or something like that. So really do appreciate you.
I do too. And can I say a funny real quick?
Yeah, for sure.
I just got a text message that's coming through on my phone. This is live, local, and late breaking, like the news station says here. My friend just said, I hope you got your doors locked, you know, because we have a couple inmates that have fled the prison you know, in the city. So I thought it was kind of fitting to get a, have you locked your doors?
Yeah, definitely make sure that those doors are locked 110%, especially if you just have, you know, random escape prisoners run around your city. Probably a good idea to keep it locked.
Yeah, I think there's like 10 of them or 9 of them. And I think only 3 have been caught, something like that. So yeah, no
That's
clue where the rest of them are.
That's an insane number of people to just...
It was like 9 or 10. Yeah, it's made it on the national news. It was just our little local news. But yeah, they broke through the wall and they are out. And our prison is like right smack in the middle of the city. They ran across the interstate, like 6 lanes of interstate or more.
Well, yeah. You know, I've seen Shawshank Redemption.
So yeah, my locks have been real checked and triple checked and double checked and quadruple checked.
Well, I've seen Shawshank, so I get it. You know, like, time to get out. You got 10 Andy Dufresnes running around your town. So yeah, make sure you're being safe.
So,
but again, Meg, thank you so much for that voicemail. And if you would like to call and leave us a voicemail, you can do so. Hit us up. Give us a call at 615-920-9393. Again, that's 615-920-9393. We would absolutely love to hear from you. And another way that we love to hear from you is reviews. So, Olivia, if somebody wants to leave us a 5-star Apple Podcast review, what is the best way to do that?
Well, they need to hop over to the Apple Podcast app. Go to our show's homepage, scroll all the way down to the bottom where you see all 5 stars. Click all 5 stars. Again, it doesn't matter the color it is on your screen. Mine are purple. But you click them all. Leave us a little bit of love. Tell us what you think about
it. Yeah, and Olivia always says it best, so I don't have to. That's Apple Podcasts. Click those stars. Let us know what you think. We would love to read those reviews on the show. Again, hearing from our listeners is one of our absolute favorite things. So if you've got any feedback, if there's a case that relates to, you know, something in your life, feel free to reach out and let us know. Again, it's awesome to hear from you. We want our listeners to be as big a part of this show as you want to be. So reach out. We'd definitely love to hear from you. And as always, if you like what we do, you want to help support the show, you can do so by becoming a patron. Head over to patreon.com/checkthelocks. You can get signed up today. We got a lot of great benefits. We got stickers, coffee mugs, stuff like that. Plus, you get the episodes commercial free. So if you love Check the Locks, but you hate commercials, then Patreon is the way to go. So again, you want to help us keep the lights on, throw us a few bucks. That is patreon.com/checkthelocks and get signed up today. And if you can't financially support the show, we definitely understand. Just listening, hanging out with us, sharing what we do with your friends and family, the people who are important to you, means just as much, if not more. So if that's you, you're telling people to check it out, letting them know to listen to the podcast. Just know that we appreciate you more than we could ever tell you. Again, it's all about that grassroots. It's about, you know, hearing from a friend that, hey, you might want to check this out. So every time you tell somebody, it really does help us out in ways that we can't even put into words. So again, if you are sharing the show, just know that we appreciate you so very much. That is all that we have for you for this week's case, but please make sure that you're subscribed to Check the Locks on your favorite podcast app so that you never miss an episode. We will see you again next week with another truly terrifying true crime case. But until then, don't forget to
check the locks.
See you next week.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.